banished to the frozen northern wastes, a young widow was supposed to die at the hands of a legendary monster. Her treacherous family cheered her departure, oblivious to the ancient prophecy they had just fulfilled. What was meant as a cruel death sentence became the awakening of a bloodthirsty empire. Snow lashed against the iron-reinforced timber of the carriage, driving a bitter chill through the floorboards. Rosalind drew her threadbare woolen cloak tighter around her shivering frame, her breath pluming into the freezing air. She was 22, a widow of merely 3 months, and currently a prisoner of her own bloodline. Her father, Lord Reginald Croft, had made his intentions agonizingly clear. She was no longer a daughter of the prosperous Croft estate. She was a liability, a curse, and a pawn to be sacrificed to the untamed north. Lord Reginald's voice still echoed in Rosalind's mind, a cruel phantom mocking her over the howling wind. "You bring nothing but ruin, girl. Percival is dead because of your misfortune. The people whisper that you are cursed, a widow who brings the grave to the men who share her bed. Let Eamon Wycliffe deal with you. A beast for a curse. It is a fitting end." Her stepbrother Ewald had stood beside their father, a vicious smirk playing upon his lips as the guards dragged her to the carriage. They had stripped her of her silken gowns, her mother's jewelry, and her dowry, dressing her in the coarse wool of a common servant. They were sending her to the Wycliffe territory to settle a generation-old border debt. The Crofts owed the Northern Territory, a bride a treaty signed in blood decades ago. By sending Rosalind a tarnished widow, Lord Reginald was delivering a grave insult to the North, fully expecting that the notoriously brutal Lord Eamon Wycliffe would slaughter her in a fit of rage, neatly solving the Croft family's political and domestic problems in one stroke. Rosalind stared out the frosted window. The familiar rolling green hills of the southern valleys had long since vanished, replaced by jagged, imposing mountains and endless forests of black pine. This was the Wycliffe domain, a place entirely forgotten by the warmth of the sun. Legends surrounded the territory and its reclusive master. They called Eamon Wycliffe the Beast of the North. Rumors spoke of him as a savage warlord who tore his enemies apart with his bare hands, a monster who consumed the hearts of those who crossed his borders, commanding a private army of men who were more wolf than human. Her late husband, Percival Reed, had been a cruel and drunken nobleman. His death had not been the tragedy her family pretended it to be. He had ridden out for a hunt in the northern woods, and was found a week later, torn to pieces, his flesh mauled beyond recognition by what the trackers claimed was a pack of unnaturally large wolves. Rosalind had felt no sorrow, only a hollow, terrifying relief. But that relief had been short-lived. The Croft family needed a scapegoat, and the silent, unweeping widow was the perfect target. The carriage jolted violently, pulling Rosalind from her grim reverie. The horses whinnied in terror. Outside, the shadows between the massive pine trees seemed to shift and elongate. Rosalind leaned closer to the cracked glass. Through the dense curtain of falling snow, she saw them. Eyes, brilliant, piercing amber eyes, floating in the darkness, keeping pace with the carriage. They belonged to massive shadowy figures, moving with terrifying silence through the deep drifts. Wolves. But they were larger than any wolves she had ever seen, their shoulders sitting as high as the carriage windows. A whimper escaped the driver from above. The carriage accelerated the wheels, slipping dangerously on the icy path. Rosalind braced herself against the wooden walls, half expecting the beasts to crash through the doors and tear her to ribbons, just as they had done to Percival. Instead, the wolves merely escorted them, a silent, menacing honor guard, guiding the condemned woman to her final destination. Hours bled into a frozen eternity before the carriage finally lurched to a halt. The heavy oak door was yanked open, revealing the stone-faced driver. "We are here, my lady. May God have mercy on your soul," he muttered, refusing to meet her eyes. He practically shoved her out into the biting cold before scrambling back onto his perch and whipping the exhausted horses, desperate to flee. Rosalind stumbled into the snow looking up. Wycliffe Keep loomed before her, a colossal fortress of dark, ancient stone carved directly into the side of a jagged mountain. It was not the crumbling, barbaric ruin she had expected. It was magnificent, albeit terrifying, with soaring towers, iron-wrought gates, and massive hearths glowing ominously through stained glass windows. Before she could process the sheer scale of the estate, the heavy iron portcullis shrieked as it was raised. A contingent of guards marched out, clad in thick furs and dark steel. At their head was an older woman with iron-gray hair pulled into a severe knot, holding a blazing torch. "You are Rosalind Croft," the woman stated. It was not a question. Her voice was sharp, cutting through the blizzard. "I am," Rosalind replied, forcing her trembling chin high. She would not die begging. The woman's eyes swept over Rosalind's meager clothing, her expression unreadable. "I am Hilda, housekeeper of Wycliffe Keep. The master has been expecting you." Though, she added a note of quiet disdain creeping into her tone, "we expected Lord Croft to send a virgin bride, not a widow draped in rags. Your father plays a dangerous game, girl. My father is a coward who hopes your master will do his bloody work for him," Rosalind said flatly. Hilda's eyebrows raised a fraction of an inch. A flicker of something akin to respect crossed her hardened features. "Inside, then, before you freeze to death. The beast does not like his meat frozen." Rosalind swallowed hard and followed Hilda into the cavernous maw of the keep. The great hall was astonishingly warm, heated by a roaring fire in a hearth large enough to roast an ox. Tapestries of dark, rich colors lined the stone walls, depicting scenes of deep forests, ancient battles, and massive wolves howling at the moon. The air smelled of pine wood smoke and roasting meats, a stark contrast to the sterile, perfumed halls of Croft Manor. "Wait here," Hilda commanded, gesturing to a heavy wooden chair near the fire. "The master will inspect you shortly." Rosalind sank into the chair, the heat of the fire slowly thawing her numb fingers. She stared into the dancing flames, her heart pounding a frantic rhythm against her ribs. She was entirely alone in the lair of a monster, abandoned by everyone she had ever known. She squeezed her eyes shut, waiting for the heavy thundering footsteps of a warlord coming to claim her life. The heavy oak doors at the far end of the hall did not burst open with a violent crash, as Rosalind had anticipated. Instead, they swung wide with a smooth, silent grace that betrayed their massive weight. A man stepped out of the shadows, and the very air in the hall seemed to shift, drawn toward him, as if he possessed his own gravitational pull. He was staggeringly tall, his shoulders broad enough to fill the doorway. He wore no crown, no ostentatious jewels, only a simple tunic of dark wool and a thick mantle of black fur draped carelessly over his shoulders. As he stepped into the light of the roaring hearth, Rosalind's breath caught in her throat. Eamon Wycliffe was not a scarred, misshapen beast. He possessed a rugged, devastatingly striking countenance. His jaw was covered in dark, coarse stubble, and his cheekbones were high and sharp, framing eyes that glowed with a startling, brilliant amber light, the exact color of the eyes she had seen tracking her carriage through the freezing woods. His dark hair was somewhat unkempt, brushing against his collar, giving him an untamed, feral elegance. He moved with a silent, predatory grace, closing the distance between them, with slow, deliberate steps. Rosalind stood up instantly, her knees shaking, though she forced her spine to remain perfectly straight. Eamon stopped a few paces away. He did not speak immediately. Instead, he simply looked at her. His chest expanded as he drew in a deep breath through his nose, his amber eyes darkening to the color of burnt honey. A low vibrating sound, something horrifyingly close to a purr or perhaps a growl, rumbled deep within his chest. Rosalind of Housecroft. His voice was a deep, raspy baritone that seemed to vibrate against her very skin. Your father has a poor sense of humor. My father has no sense of humor, my lord. Rosalind replied, her voice remarkably steady, despite her terror. He is simply cruel. He sent me here as an insult to your house, hoping you would kill me and save him the trouble of arranging a quiet poison. Eamon's eyes locked onto hers, burning with an intense predatory focus. And why would a father wish death upon his own flesh? Because I am the cursed widow, Rosalind said bitterly, the old wounds tearing open. My late husband, Percival Reed, was torn apart by wolves near your border. My family believes I bring ruin. I am of no political use, I carry no dowry, and my reputation is stained. I am trash, Lord Wycliffe. They threw me onto your doorstep. Eamon stepped closer, his imposing height, forcing Rosalind to tilt her head back to maintain eye contact. The scent of him washed over her rich earth, fresh pine needles, and the sharp metallic tang of iron. It was intoxicating. Trash, Eamon repeated softly, reaching out. His large, calloused hand hesitated before gently catching a stray lock of her dark hair that had fallen across her frozen cheek. His touch was unexpectedly warm, almost searing. Reginald Croft is a blind, arrogant fool. He looks at a diamond and sees only glass. Rosalind frowned, confusion momentarily overriding her fear. I do not understand. No, you would not, Eamon murmured. He dropped his hand and turned toward the fire. Your father thought he was delivering a supreme insult. He thought he was tossing away a useless widow to a savage northern warlord. What he did not know is that he was walking directly into a trap I set 3 years ago. Rosalind's eyes widened. A trap? Eamon looked back over his shoulder, the firelight casting demonic shadows across his face. Did you truly believe it was a coincidence that Percival Reed died near my borders? Did you believe it was random, mindless wolves that tore him apart? A cold dread pooled in Rosalind's stomach. You ordered his death. I executed it. Eamon corrected his voice, dropping to a terrifying, deadly calm. Percival Reed was a drunken swine who struck you. I knew what he did to you behind closed doors. I smelled your blood on his hands when he dared to ride near my territory. My pack tore him to pieces because I commanded them to. Rosalind took a stumbling step backward. Your pack, you commanded the wolves. We are Wycliffe, Eamon said, turning to fully face her. The amber light in his eyes flared, bleeding into the whites. His fingernails elongated, sharpening into dark, lethal claws against the firelight. We do not merely rule the beasts of the north, Rosalind. We are the beasts. The realization hit her like a physical blow. The legends were not metaphors. The beast of Wycliffe was literal, a werewolf, an apex predator hiding in the guise of a nobleman. Why? Rosalind whispered, her voice trembling not with fear, but with an overwhelming chaotic shock. Why care about a southern lord's wife? Why orchestrate this debt? Why demand a bride from my father, knowing he would send me? In the blink of an eye, Eamon crossed the space between them. He did not grab her, but he stood close enough that the heat radiating from his massive body enveloped her completely. He leaned down his face, mere inches from hers, because 3 years ago, during the Midsummer Festival in the Neutral Lands, I caught a scent in the wind. Eamon said, his voice dropping to a harsh, desperate whisper. I tracked it to a girl in a blue dress, sitting alone in a pavilion. I saw you, Rosalind, and the beast inside me recognized what the man could scarcely believe. He reached out again, his clawed hand gently cupping her jaw, his thumb brushing over her pulse point. You are not a curse, little widow. Eamon breathed, his amber eyes burning with an obsessive, possessive fire. You are my fated mate, and I have spent 3 agonizing years manipulating the entire southern aristocracy just to drag you into my den. Silence stretched across the great hall, broken only by the crackle and hiss of the massive hearth. Rosalind stood frozen, her mind violently rejecting and simultaneously accepting the impossible reality towering before her. Fated mate. The words echoed in her skull, a concept so foreign to her brutal upbringing that it felt like a heavy velvet cloak settling over her shivering shoulders. She searched Eamon's amber eyes, looking for the madness or the deceit that always lurked in the gaze of southern men. She found neither. There was only a primal, unyielding devotion that terrified her far more than the claws still unsheathed at his fingertips. You orchestrated everything, Rosalind finally whispered, her voice barely carrying over the fire. The border dispute, the debts. You forced my father's hand, knowing he would rather throw me to the wolves than part with his gold or his precious heir Ewald. Eamon stepped back, his physical form relaxing as the claws receded into human fingernails, though the predator in his eyes remained wide awake. I gave Reginald Croft a choice, he corrected softly. I demanded a daughter of his house to forge an alliance. I knew he would never send a virgin to a beast, not when he had a disgraced, battered widow he wished to discard. He thought he was outsmarting me. He thought he was delivering a corpse. He gestured to the sprawling warmth of the room. But I was building you a sanctuary. Over the next several weeks, the terrifying prison Rosalind had anticipated slowly transformed into a bizarre, breathtaking paradise. Wycliffe Keep was not a den of mindless savages. It was a fiercely loyal, highly disciplined military household, and beneath the gruff, fur-clad exterior of its inhabitants beat the hearts of a fiercely protective pack. The women of the keep, led by the formidable Hilda, did not treat Rosalind with the sneering pity she had endured in the south. They treated her with a quiet, reverent awe. She was the master's chosen. She was their Luna, even if the title remained unspoken, while she healed from the deep, invisible wounds inflicted by Percival Reed and her father. Eamon did not force his presence upon her. Despite his confession of a fated bond, the beast of the north proved to have the patience of a glacier. He gave her a sprawling chamber with tapestries woven of silver thread and a balcony overlooking the jagged snow-capped peaks. He provided her with gowns of rich velvet and thick, luxurious furs, a stark contrast to the coarse rags her family had banished her in. Most importantly, he gave her autonomy. For the first time in her 22 years, no one barked orders at her. No one struck her when she spoke out of turn. Yet the tether between them was undeniable. Whenever Rosalind wandered the high stone battlements or read in the massive dust-filled library, she would find Eamon nearby. He was a silent sentinel, always watching his amber eyes, tracking her every movement with an intoxicating blend of hunger and restraint. When they did speak, it was over late-night suppers by the fire. He taught her the history of the Lycan bloodline how his ancestors had forged a pact with the spirits of the northern winter to survive a catastrophic ice age. In return, she found herself confessing the quiet horrors of her past, the drunken rages of Percival, the cold indifference of her father, the cruel, taunting whispers of Ewald. Every time she mentioned her family's cruelty, a low, rumbling growl would vibrate through Aemon's chest, and the temperature in the room seemed to plummet. His beast demanded blood for her pain, and Rosalind realized with a dark, thrilling shock that she wanted him to take it. The illusion of perfect safety shattered on the eve of the winter solstice. Rosalind was in the courtyard, learning to shoot a recurve bow under the instruction of Gareth Aemon's towering, scarred captain of the guard. The biting wind had brought a strange metallic scent down from the mountain pass. Gareth paused, his nostrils flaring, his expression darkening into a mask of pure violence. Before he could speak, a massive black wolf, one of the border sentries, bounded through the iron gates, shifting mid-stride into a breathless, naked scout. "Southern banners!" The scout gasped, sinking to his knees, as Hilda rushed forward with a heavy cloak to cover him. "A mercenary company, heavy cavalry and iron-tipped ballistas. They are marching through the Howling Pass. They march under the Croft Crest." Rosalind's blood turned to ice, the bow slipping from her gloved fingers. Aemon emerged from the keep, his presence instantly silencing the panicked whispers of the courtyard. He looked at the scout, then turned his blazing gaze toward Rosalind. "Reginald." Aemon spat the name like a curse. "He did not just send me to die." Rosalind realized the political strategy, snapping into agonizing clarity. "He used me as a distraction. He knew the debt was a pretense. He believed you would be distracted celebrating your kill, or perhaps fighting among yourselves over a southern prize. He intends to wipe out Wycliffe Keep while the pass is snowed in, and no royal messengers can report his treason." Gareth drew a massive broadsword from his back. "They bring iron, my lord, silver and iron. They know what we are." Aemon did not look at his captain. He walked slowly toward Rosalind, his boots crunching in the fresh snow. He stopped before her, his massive hands reaching out to cup her face. The human facade was slipping, his teeth were elongating, his voice dropping into a demonic, multi-layered register. "They come to reclaim you." Aemon growled, his thumbs brushing her cheekbones. "Or they come to ensure you are dead. Tell me, my Luna, what shall I do with the men who broke you?" Rosalind looked up into the eyes of the monster, and for the first time in her life, she did not flinch. The timid, battered widow died in that frozen courtyard, replaced by the matriarch of a bloodthirsty empire. "Slaughter them," Rosalind whispered, her voice as cold as the northern wind. "Every last one." Winter did not yield in the Wycliffe territory. It merely waited for permission to kill. As the sun dipped beneath the jagged peaks, painting the heavy clouds in bruises of purple and black, the southern mercenary army crested the final ridge overlooking the keep. From her vantage point, high on the stone battlements, Rosalind watched them assemble. There were nearly 500 men, heavily armored, dragging massive iron ballistas through the snowdrifts. At the head of the vanguard, riding a heavily barded warhorse, was her stepbrother, Ewald Croft. Even from a distance, Rosalind could recognize the arrogant tilt of his head, the cruel certainty of a man who believed he held all the cards. He carried a banner of parley, a white flag, stained gray by the twilight. He rode forward to the edge of the clearing, his voice magically amplified by a southern wind caller in his ranks. "Lord Wycliffe," Ewald's voice echoed against the mountains, dripping with false authority. "I come on behalf of Lord Reginald Croft." we have received word that the tribute sent to you was deeply flawed. A cursed woman responsible for the death of a noble lord. We have come to rectify this insult, cleanse your lands of her taint, and assume control of the northern border for the crown. Rosalind scoffed a dark, humorless sound. It was a thinly veiled excuse for a massacre and a land grab. Beside her, Aemon stood perfectly still. He had stripped off his heavy furs and tunic, his torso bare, despite the freezing temperatures. Muscles coiled tightly beneath his scarred skin, vibrating with explosive repressed energy. He did not shout back. He did not order a horn to be blown. He simply looked down at his fated mate. Are you ready to watch your past? Burn, Rosalind, he asked quietly. Set the fire, she replied without hesitation. Aemon threw his head back, and a sound erupted from his throat that chilled Rosalind to the marrow, a deafening, blood-curdling howl that seemed to tear the very sky open. It was a sound of pure, unadulterated apex violence. The response was instantaneous. From the dark pine forests surrounding the mercenary army, a chorus of hundreds of howls answered. The snow itself seemed to erupt. Massive, hulking figures, standing 8 feet tall on two legs, burst from the tree line. The Wycliffe pack did not fight like men. They fought like a localized natural disaster. Panic rippled through the southern ranks. Ewald screamed orders, his horse rearing in terror. Ballistas fired, sending massive iron bolts, tearing through the air. But the lichens were too fast moving with terrifying, fluid speed. Rosalind gripped the stone parapet, her breath catching, as she watched Aemon vault over the edge of the 50-foot wall. He didn't fall. He plummeted his body, twisting and expanding midair. Bones cracked and realigned with sickening volume. Dark, thick fur erupted from his skin. By the time he hit the ground, cracking the frozen earth beneath his weight, the nobleman was gone. In his place stood an alpha werewolf of nightmarish proportions, a beast of pitch-black fur and burning amber eyes. Aemon hit the mercenary front line like a siege engine. He tore through steel armor as if it were parchment, his massive claws rending flesh and shattering bone. He did not use weapons. He was the weapon. The snow turned a vibrant, sickening crimson as the pack systematically dismantled the southern army. It was not a battle. It was an execution. Ewald's arrogant vanguard dissolved into screaming chaos. Rosalind watched her heart pounding a frantic rhythm as her stepbrother abandoned his men. He spurred his horse, desperately trying to flee back toward the mountain pass. But the alpha had already caught his scent. Aemon broke away from the slaughter, his massive strides eating up the distance in seconds. He leaped, tackling the warhorse and its rider, into a deep snowdrift. The horse shrieked and bolted, leaving Ewald scrambling backward in the bloody snow, his sword trembling in his hands. The great black wolf stalked toward him, baring fangs the size of daggers. But then, shockingly, Aemon stopped. He sat back on his haunches, his amber eyes flicking up to the battlements. He was waiting. Rosalind understood. She turned from the wall and raced down the spiraling stone stairs, her velvet skirts brushing against the cold floors. Gareth and two guards flanked her instantly as she pushed through the heavy oak doors of the keep and strode out into the blood-soaked courtyard. The battle was already over. The surviving mercenaries had thrown down their weapons, falling to their knees in weeping terror as towering wolves circled them. Rosalind walked past the carnage, her eyes locked on the pathetic figure of Ewald Croft. He was sobbing, clutching a broken arm, staring up at the massive alpha wolf that loomed over him. When Ewald heard her footsteps, he whipped his head around. His eyes bulged in disbelief. Rosalind was not dressed in rags. She wore the rich dark colors of House Wycliffe, a heavy cloak of silver fox fur draped over her shoulders. She looked like a queen of winter. "Rosalind," Ewald choked out, spitting blood. "Sister, please call off this monster. You must, we are family." Rosalind stopped a few feet away. Eamon lowered his massive wolfish head, pressing his blood-stained snout affectionately against her hip. She reached out, running her gloved fingers through the thick, coarse fur behind his ears. "Family." Rosalind tested the word, finding it tasted like ash on her tongue. "My family stripped me of my dignity, sold me to a man who beat me, and then banished me to die in the snow to cover their own debts." "Father forced me," Ewald pleaded, crawling toward her. Eamon let out a warning growl that vibrated the ground, freezing the man in place. "I can take you back. You can be a lady of the south again. I am the Luna of the North," Rosalind said, her voice carrying a terrifying absolute authority that echoed across the silent, bloody snow. "And my husband does not leave his meals unfinished." She looked at Eamon, her fated mate, the beast who had seen her worth when the world saw only ruin. "Take his head, Eamon. Send it back to my father in the same carriage he sent me in. Let Lord Croft know that the debt is paid and the beast is coming for the rest." Eamon's eyes flashed with dark, adoring approval. He lunged. As Ewald's screams were abruptly silenced, Rosalind turned back toward the fortress. She was no longer a pawn, no longer a cursed widow. She was the architect of a new, terrifying empire, and alongside her monster, she would make the southern kingdoms drown in their own treacherous blood. Did the fiery conclusion of Rosalind and Eamon's dark romance leave you breathless, a discarded widow rising from the ashes to command an army of werewolves? Is exactly the kind of satisfying, bloodthirsty revenge we love to tell. If you were captivated by this twisted medieval drama, please hit that like button and share this story with your friends. Don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more intense, romantic, and thrilling fantasy sagas. What should our alpha conquer next? Let us know in the comments.